For tapes, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Sunday afternoon, June the 28th, 1987. Summer family camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Twyla Fox of Tulsa, Oklahoma, is the speaker of the afternoon.
Well, how are you holding up?
Great.
Praise the Lord. Before I start, Lord impressed me to ask if anybody got a testimony. I'd like to hear that brother from Springfield testify. It blesses me, and I want to get blessed.
Thank you, sir.
Praise the Lord. But I was hoping he'd say, I heard him say in Springfield, he said that he told some fellow he was going to kill himself, and the guy says, go right ahead, you'll go straight to hell. And it sort of got his attention, and he changed his mind at that point. We are in a war, and some of us are in the army of the Lord. The Lord has an army. Some of them are down here. Some of them are all over the nation. I especially appreciate what Brother Gene Moody said this morning. I wish you could have said it slower, brother, and repeated everything twice, because it was so precious. It was so truthful. And he said right here what every one of you and I need. If we would take it to heart, meditate on it, and do it, we would be free, and we'd all be in the army of the Lord. And I mean, we'd be like captains and generals. We wouldn't be down in the private rank. We would be moving on in the Lord. But I won't go over all those things. I just hope that you heard what he said and that they got it on tape. You ought to take it home with you and be sure and get that tape. How many of you are here this afternoon that were not here this morning? Okay, not very, most of you were here. Every person born on the face of this earth since Adam and Eve is born in a prison house. Every person is born, as our brother said, as a captive to the kingdom of darkness. Is born a prisoner, but Jesus came to set the captives free. That's why he came. And once I sat in that prison house, unaware that there was outside those walls a kingdom of light, the kingdom of God, and that it was real, and that Jesus wanted to dwell within me. Genuine salvation. As I meditated on what I was going to bring this afternoon, I thought about a time when the Lord had called me to Europe to minister, and it was the first time we went, and we had ministered in Finland for a couple of weeks, and we were going down by train. We thought we could see Europe best by train, so we were on a train, my sister and I, going down through Germany. On our way, our destination was a little country called Liechtenstein, which is just almost a part and near to Switzerland. And as we went along, going from the north to the south, down through Germany, we could see from the train window the invisible wall that separates the communist Germany from the free Germany. And ever so often there were these great towers built, and there were guards in them with guns who would shoot sight anybody who was escaping from the east over to the west. There were barbed fences and so forth in most of the area. They had dogs that would hunt people down if they got over. And then, once having got over the wall, which is almost impossible, and it's not a physical wall, it's just an invisible wall most of the way, but having once gotten over it, then the area for so many feet or yards out west of that is mined. There are mines and booby traps planted there, so that just getting over the wall doesn't make the person totally free yet. They've got to come through that maze of other contraptions that are geared, plus escape the eye of the guard in the tower where they have binoculars to look and search, to keep the captives captive and to not let them over into freedom. And with all of that, a few make it. A few die in the process. And I thought that's very like a picture of salvation almost. We are in captive to the devil. And once we get over that wall, when Jesus Christ comes to us, he said, you call your wall salvation. You get a new wall at that point in time. But you're not completely home free yet. Now, positionally, legally, I believe we'd probably go to heaven if we died. But there is still a battle to be fought for the farther away that we can get from the kingdom of darkness and away into the liberty of the Holy Ghost and the knowledge of the Lord. the better off we will be. The more, you know, you can't really relax until you get far away from the one who had you captured. And so that is the way our lives are. And I thought about, as we came down through, we were on our way to Switzerland, mainly to see one young lady that I had led to the Lord when she was in the States. And I want to tell you how the power of God can work from one side by telephone right around the globe to the other side of the world. One time after she got back there, I just led her to the Lord. I didn't have time to teach her. She left right away. And she called me. She used to call me quite often. There's about a six-hour or eight-hour time difference between Oklahoma and where she lives, so I never knew when she was going to call. And when she called one time and she told me she was deep in the night there, she was scared to death. She said, "I'm afraid to go to bed." She said, I am downstairs in my living room. I'm afraid to go up to the bedroom." She said, "There is fear. There is something in this house." And I knew by the Spirit, a spirit of fear was there, and I knew by the Spirit that there was a curse on her and a curse on that house. She had just moved into that house, and as I talked to her, she told me of things popping and snapping and all kinds of noises when there was nobody there, but she and her two children, they were in the bed, asleep. And as she continued on talking, I said, "There's a curse, Suzanne, on you and on that house." And then she told me that she had found six dead blackbirds and on her doorstep. And then she had found six more in the attic. And I knew right away that witchcraft had been worked on that house. There's much witchcraft in Europe, especially in Switzerland. And you know, the Spirit of the Lord fell upon me. I rose up and commanded that curse to be broken and that spirit to get out of that house in the name of Jesus. And she started laughing and crying both at the same time and went up and went to bed. Hallelujah. So the power of God, you know, God knows where his deliverance ministers are. He knows where there's a sincere heart that wants to serve him. And he will see that you get connected up if you have set your love on him. There's a verse in 91st Psalm that says, "I will deliver him because he has set his love on me." That's the number one thing for you to do, is set your love on Jesus. Determine that you will follow him. So I thought I'd share that with you. I thought it was interesting how the Lord did that for her. The Lord gave me a little passage here, Numbers chapter 13. As our brother mentioned, we can look back in the Old Testament and see the work of the demonic. There's not much talk of the work of the devil. There's only talk in the Old Testament of the idolatrous religions, of the practices, of the sinning and the rebelling. And we're not told much of the spiritual warfare because Christ had not come yet. All they had then was the word and obedience to the word. But in Numbers chapter 13, I'll be reading verses 1 through 3. That's just about the Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. "And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, Send thou men, that they may search the land of Canaan, that I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them. And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran. All those men were heads of the children of Israel." And then he goes ahead and lists all their names. They took 12 men. Now then, the purpose was to search out the land of Canaan. They had been traveling for 40 years, and they had at last arrived at their destination. And they were going in to search out the land. Do you think the Lord did not know what the land looked like? That he had to send 12 human beings in? He made that land. He knew what it looked like. But you know who didn't know what it looked like? They didn't know what it looked like. God knew what they'd find there, and he probably knew how they would respond. He knew how they would act. But he told Moses to choose them and send them in. And picking up with verse 17, "And Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan." It was an occupied land. There were folk who lived there, but God had picked it out for him. If God can do what he wants to, he owns this whole earth. The earth and the fullness thereof belongs to the Lord. So he can pick any piece of land and give it to whomever he wants to. Aren't you glad? And he favors his children. "And he said unto them, Get you up this way into the Negev, and go up into the mountain, and see the land, what it is, and the people who dwell therein, whether they are strong or weak, few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it is good or bad, and what cities they are that they dwell in, whether in camps or in strongholds, and what the land is." And said that's three forked rhymes there. That's interesting. "And what the land is, whether it is fat or lean, whether there is wood therein or not, And be ye of good courage, and bring of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. So they went up and searched the land from the wilderness of Zin unto Rehob, as men come to Hamath. And they ascended up by the Negev, and came unto Hebron, where Ahiman and Shishai and Talmai, the children of Anak, were there. Now Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. And they come unto the brook of Eshcol, and they cut down from there a branch with one cluster of grapes, and they bore it between two upon a staff, and they brought it of the pomegranates and of the figs. I don't see grapes like that down at Kroger's. I don't see grapes like that hardly anywhere. That one cluster is so big, so luscious, so delicious, and delightful that they had to put it on a pole between two men, so it took two men to carry it. Now, that's interesting. I would say that was a good testimony for the land that would make them want to come in, and pomegranates and figs. And the place was called the Brook Eshcol. I got to thinking about how they kept wanting to go back. This may not be significant, but it interested me. How they kept wanting to go back down to Egypt. Every time they had a discouragement, they would say, oh, why did we leave Egypt? You know, of course, they were in servitude and bondage there, and they were not their own masters, but they kept talking about the garlics and the leeks, and I thought of all those. They taste good, but they make your breath smell terrible. They make you smell bad. And I thought of the difference of the fruits that they're bringing in here, pomegranates and grapes, and things that are quite helpful, far more than garlic and onions and so forth, and more nutritious and more nourishing. That's like God. And the place was called the Brook Eshcol because of the cluster of grapes which the children of Israel cut down from there. And they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. Now then, that took a long time. And they went and they came, starting, let's see, verse 26. I'll just resume right there. They went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and to all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, we came unto the land to which thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people are strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great, and moreover, we saw the children of Anak there, and Anak was a giant. And the Amalekites dwell in the land of the Negev, and the Hittites, and the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea. It's all occupied, and by the edge of the Jordan. And you know, Paul wrote, occupy. Occupy till I come. Jesus said, occupy. And Caleb stilled the people. We're supposed to occupy, not the enemy. And Caleb stilled the people. Quite contrast to verse 28. Before Moses, and he said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land, which they had searched under the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there are giants, the sons of Anak, who come to the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. I'm going to stop at this point. Although I think it's a beautiful story. We're reading of national Israel. Natural Israel, who lives in the land of Israel today, for the most part. Many are still scattered abroad. But today, the Church of Jesus Christ is spiritual Israel. All of the stories of Israel are given not only as their history, but for an example to us. We read that in Corinthians and Hebrews. They are given as an example to us. And as they had a difficulty going in and possessing the natural land of Canaan, we have a little difficulty going in and possessing the spiritual land that we have come to inherit. And the things that we come up against are not always natural giants. They're spiritual giants. There are spiritual forces living in the people of the world and in the circumstances around us, and sometimes in us. And I think that Caleb and Joshua... were surely two outstanding persons, because they saw things differently than the other ten. And I thought they must have been of the original members of the Zion Company, because they came back with faith and hope and courage, encouraging the people to go in. But the other ten, you know what? Joshua had seen, he had caught the vision of the power of God. He had looked at Moses' face. He had been up on the mountain with him. He had seen the fire, the thunder, and the lightning. He had seen the power firsthand of Almighty God. He was a servant to Moses until this time. And we find that I believe that he had had a touch from God so that he was able to see with the eyes of the Lord what was possible. Too many of us are still seeing and operating with the natural eyes and with our scant little piddly knowledge. We have not grown up into the Lord. We do not know a spiritual warfare. So we quickly chicken out and turn tail and run. And we need more Calebs and more Joshuas who will stand up and press in and say, our God is able, and we will press in and take our land, the land that dwells within us. We will take the land that is around us, and then we will go over and pull somebody else out of the ditch and help them and share with them the knowledge that we have come to have. Now then, I want to speak. I won't go on immediately. The people believed the report of the ten. They began to cry and carry on. And that grieved the Lord very much. And I believe that it grieves the Lord when Christians go on weak, lame, mealy-mouthed, and not rising up and taking the land. He has provided everything that we need. Now, about this land, I'm speaking of a spiritual terrain. I'm speaking of a spiritual dimension here. And to speak of spiritual things, we must speak of spirits. How many of you know that God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth? That's why we have to get saved, so that God's spirit comes into us, quickens us, and then we become spiritual and we can worship him out of our spirits. But there are good spirits, God and his holy angels. There are evil spirits, the devil and his angels, or fallen angels. And I think some of you may know this. Most of you do, but some may not. Did you know that an evil spirit has an intelligence, has an intellect? An evil spirit has a will. And spirits communicate with one another. And they can communicate just, you know, as we can pray for someone on one side of the earth and the prayer is answered on the other, as I prayed for Suzanne. That's just how quick. There is no distance in the spirit we talk about in our praying. They can talk just that quick, too. They can communicate around this globe by lightning action. And they have a goal. They also have feelings. They also have emotions. But they do not do well floating around in the air. They looking for a home. I think somebody used to sing that song, just looking for a home, just looking for a home. And guess who is elected? You are elected to be the home of evil spirits. I was once the home and probably still have a few. I've planned to get a little more deliverance myself as the Lord reveals that whatever it is that I need. I don't want anything not like God in me. How about you? I want everything cleared out of my land that the Lord Jesus can dwell in and inhabit my entire being. Praise his name. Now then, the goal of evil spirits is to defeat you, get you back behind that wall, if so be, to kill you spiritually, to kill you, discourage you, disarm you, disillusion you, depress you, make you sick, make you poor. Anything that will defeat the cause of Christ. And the cause of Christ is represented in human beings, in us, for we have this treasure in these earthen vessels. So the devil wants to work on these earthen vessels. He wants to first and foremost gain control of your mind. The mind is where the battle is raging. And once entertained there, then he comes in and sets up housekeeping and sends spirits that will operate in and on and around and through us. And if you once give place to some of them, generally they will, from that position, have a little more power than they had when they were outside of you. And then they will bring in some friends, bring in recruits. They are very busy in their army. They are very well organized, and they have a head, and his name is Lucifer. His name is Satan, and they obey him. They're scared to death of him. And they obey him and work very hard at defeating us. But they lie. They will deceive you. There is so much, you know, they don't have to work too hard as long as the formal church is going on. As though it's the formal church, the church out there, names the name of Christ, got a cross up there on the steeple and a bell in the belfry there. And as long as they've got it all cut and dried, where they go and hear a nice little platitude, a nice little philosophical, political, or psychological story, and put the money in the offering plate, then go home, they feel they've done their bit, dead as a post. And they are not any threat to the kingdom of darkness. They're not doing anything for the Lord. And the devil loves for people to get hooked into that kind of church. I think that what passes for church in America is one of the greatest deterrents to the work of God in the real church, which is the born-again body of believers. And that is the most insidious bondage that I believe that people can be in. And some of them have got Pentecostal name over the door. And they were the ones that will preach the hardest against, oh, a Christian can't have a demon. A Christian can't have an evil spirit. I'm here to tell you different. How many of you know that's a lie, that's one of the devil's lies that he puts out there? And as long as you believe that, well, just because I go to the Methodist church or the Baptist church every Sunday, my grandma's name was on the roll, we helped build the church, and you sit there secure in your death. I warn you, we must be born again. We must be pressing in, and if we're not growing up, we're shrinking. I wish it worked that way in the natural. But that doesn't. You know, but if we're not growing up into him, we're passive, and we're on the way to backsliding. Now then, the enemy will defeat you if he can get, number one, he wants to get your attention. He wants to get your attention. And he doesn't have to work too hard with television around. You know, people will turn on the most neutral, seemingly good thing. Did you know? He doesn't care how many National Geographic specials you watch. They're educational. That's nice. It's all right to watch something educational. But how many hours do people spend watching something like that that will merely entertain them? It's pretty and all of that about this natural realm, but it does nothing for their spiritual growth. Anything that is just filler or that's just wasting of your time and retarding your growth in the Lord is really not the best for you. And I'd rather have my mind clear to hear from him. And the other thing, besides that, the commercials come on. Then the first thing, that program goes off and another one comes on, it's not so good. By then you're hypnotized and you're sitting there and you don't get up and turn it off. You know what I'm talking about. So if the enemy can defeat you, at first he wants to get your attention. And he will get it through the lusts of the flesh, the lusts of the eye, or the pride of life. He gets it through fleshly appetites. He will get your attention one way or the other. And as soon, and you know, it is so amazing how distractible people are. You ought to try it sometime. Just get down and sit down and talk to somebody and set out your mind you're going to distract them from every which thing they start talking about. And you can just distract them like that. They'll never even know you're doing it. They'll just dummy up and just follow you along like a little mouse following a Pied Piper. Just watch it sometime. We've got to be, you know, Paul wrote so much, be sober, be alert, be awake, be quick and active in your mind, be attentive. I'm very attentive when people come around and start talking to me. Is this relevant? Is this going to bring anything, prosperity to the kingdom of God within me? Or is this going to waste my time, make me tired standing here 30 minutes, and when I got through, I'll think, what did she say? You know what I'm talking about, pastors? You ministers, you teachers know what I'm talking about, people that have to minister. Other people that don't know will come around and talk your ear off, and when you get through, you wonder, huh? And you're just sort of left with a big question mark. Watch it. We are to, you know, I believe that's what you call idle words. We need to be attentive to the idle words that come out of our mouths. If they're filler, they're time wasters, and they'll deplete you and drain you. I once read in a brief date Bible that said that you can talk the anointing away. And you can. And watch the devil send somebody around to talk away the anointing. Anyway, so number one, the devil likes to get us confused. He likes to get us weak physically or mentally. He likes to make us sick mentally or physically. And because they're looking for a home, I'm going to tell you a story that will just blow your mind here. I, in ministry in Springfield just last week, I had a lady come up at the end of the service. She handed me her card, and she works with an organization that their job is to go and take eyes out of people who have passed on and have willed their eyes to the eye bank. You familiar with that program? And they have willed their eyes. So it never occurred to me somebody had to go get the eyeballs. Isn't that a little gory? But anyway, she and two or three other young ladies have that assignment in her area. And they're all spirit-filled Christians, which I thought was really interesting. Well, she said, Dr. Fox, I had talked a little bit on demonology, and we had done some deliverance that night. And she said, what you're saying is right on. She said, we see some very interesting things. And by the way, spirits are assigned to people. When you came into this world, you had spirits that had been attached to your family, bloodline, back for generations. They know how your family operates. They know how they operated, how they thought, how they felt. They knew their vulnerabilities and their weaknesses. And it's their job through curses and their activity to see that whatever bad got on your ancestors gets on you and then goes on down to your kids. Are you with me on this? So this young lady, did you know that when human beings die, the demons that are in them don't die? What do you think happened? They linger around a little bit, and then they start looking around, well, who else can I pick on? Who else can I parasite off of? Who can I dwell in next? And so they start looking for another home because they got to move on. And so she goes to these bodies where they have and you have to get there fairly soon, you know, within 3 or 4 hours. And she goes to these bodies. Sometimes they're in hospitals. Sometimes they're in morgues. Sometimes they're in the police morgues. They're just sometimes in the funeral home, I suppose. But she said that when they get there, they have had some very interesting experiences. She said that one time she and the surgical technician were working, and a voice said just as clearly as anything, "May we enter you?" Mm-hmm. They heard a voice saying, "May we enter you?" It was the spirits coming out of that cadaver, out of that corpse, that were looking for another home, and they were spiritual Christians. They said, "May we enter you, fools?" They should have known better. And this girl said, "No, in the name of Jesus." You know, if you ever hear a voice say anything like that, say, "No, in the name of Jesus. For pity's sake, no." And she said that they had seen vapors, misty vapors form above, coming right out of the face area, right out of the heart area, and just hovering like a cloud and then leave even while they're there. And she said they had seen evil spirits leaving these persons. And she told another story that I thought was quite interesting. She said that one time there was this gentleman who donated his eyes, and he seemed still warm. And they checked him out, and he for sure was dead. But just around his face was warm, around his eyes. And she said he was still pink, and there was a glow about him. And she said that they took every precaution to make sure that he really was dead, and he really was physiologically dead. But she said a couple of days later on, she found his write-up in the paper, and he was a deacon in a holiness church. So it was the glow of God that was still lingering there upon him. And there wasn't any evil spirits in him. He just had, you know, even in death, I thought he must have been like, was it Elisha that was thrown into that pit? You know, they buried him, and they came along and threw a fellow's bone, killed another guy had gotten killed, and they put him in that grave. And when he even touched the bones of Elisha, he came to life and came out of there. That was the might and the power of God on still resting in there where his servant was buried. I suppose Elisha was just bones by then. I don't know. But so these forces are very real. And remember that they're looking for a home. They're looking for your body to dwell in. And sometimes I've had many stories of being involved with a lot of hospital work. I've had nurses tell me of seeing transformation in family members when one would die, one especially evil. You take an alcoholic or somebody in the mental ward and somebody like that, and then family members that are around when they die. And I've heard family members tell me that are Christian and know about these things. They'll say, you know, brother so-and-so took on the exact countenance and the habits of his brother or of somebody, some loved one that died, and they were the one at the bedside when they died. These spirits are real, and they leave and inhabit. You know, how many of you have had experiences like this? You know what I'm speaking of. So we are speaking of real entities. They've got everything you've got except the body, and they're looking for yours. Their appetites are filthy. Their thoughts are ugly, and in keeping with their master. Their emotions are nothing but confusion, hatred, torment, anything unlike God, that's what they do. And insanity, and the things that come to human beings, is nothing more than the work of demonic spirits on people. And I'm sure that you know, it's a shame. The devil, did you know the devil is no respecter of persons? Did you know he is no respecter of age? Doesn't matter how old. Did you know he pick on little children? He pick on little ones just when they come into this world. I believe I told the story the last time here of a young lady that had come to my office for ministry. And she had been to 13 different psychiatrists. And she wasn't well yet. Some said she was schizophrenic. Some said that she was depressed. Some said there was nothing wrong with her. She was just growing up. These are the varieties of diagnosis. Now, what does that tell you about that field? You know, I always used to marvel. I used to have to go down to Oklahoma City for these seminars, and somebody would present a case, And if they had six psychiatrists, you'd have six different opinions. I thought that was really interesting. And we students were supposed to sit there and learn. It was nothing but an exercise in confusion. And each one had his own, and he would quote Freud, or the other one would quote Jung, and they would all quote different authorities to say that this was wrong. You know, they never had any answers. They would try to figure out all the, and you know, I don't even read the journals anymore. In fact, I don't even take them anymore. But I think all they're doing is study after study after study on depression. Study after study on schizophrenia. What causes it? They don't know. They've got some theories, but they don't know. Because they have shut out the answer. They are spiritually in darkness. They're still sitting in the prison house. They haven't got out yet. They haven't got over the wall yet. So they cannot possibly understand these things. And I thank God that this young lady was totally delivered and set free. The Lord revealed to me when she said, I have never, ever been happy in my whole life. I thought, not even when you were a little tiny kid? Never, never. And right then, I knew she had come under a cloud of a curse, even as she entered this life. She was born with a curse on her. Children come into this life in varying shades of liberty. Little children born of Christian families, godly families, where the house is cleansed, spiritually speaking, and where the curses have been broken off of that bloodline, those little children come into a haven, really almost a heaven on earth, as much as we can have. But on the other hand, little children that come into homes where they're smoking dope, or in fact dealing it, and where there is nothing but hard, horrible rock music going all day long, where mother's got her face painted up like a Jezebel, and where all her interest is in the latest fashions, and where she's just interested in going down to the local bar, or hanging out, or partying, and whatever, I thought, oh, that little child hardly has a chance. You know what I'm speaking of? The demons that surround that little child. So we need to pray, and to pray hard for little children and for families, and that the truth of God's word will be let loose, and that people will come to know of this warfare. They will come to know of spiritual realities. Now then, little ones like that I mentioned come in unloved, unwanted, and rejected. I believe that probably one of the first spirits that a human being is brought into contact with is a spirit of rejection. I believe that's probably the chief one, alongside of the fact that there may be curses on them when they come into this world. I ministered to a boy in Finland, and I tell his story in my book. I've been lecturing on rejection, and I was praying for the students in the Bible school. This young man came forth the last in the line, a very tall young man, and he said, which I could tell by looking at him, that he was schizophrenic. That would be his natural diagnosis. I could tell that. But he was coming for deliverance from a spirit of rejection. I didn't know. I was about to open up a can of worms. I was kind of new. I hadn't had a whole lot of experience, but I knew deliverance was real. And I just, through the interpreter, he told me what he wanted, what the boy wanted, so I began to pray over him and began to look him in the eye and command a spirit of rejection to come out of him. As I did so, the countenance changed. He blinked his eyes a couple of times, and it looked like a different personality looking out of his eyeballs at me. And it was. It was that spirit of rejection that we had called up and did not want to come out of him. And then he stiffened and he raised up and he got a little tougher looking and tougher acting. And he began to talk quite rapidly. And I asked the interpreter, what is he saying? He said, he's cursing you. And here's a young man, saved, and supposedly filled with the Spirit. And I don't think he was. A lot of people think they are, and they're not. And somebody told them they are, and they assume they are, and they're not baptized in the Holy Ghost yet. That's just the facts of it. And this young man, I continued to press in and command that Spirit to come out. And then he rose up and doubled up his fist like he was going to fight me. This young man did not want to fight me. Who wanted to fight me? The evil spirit. The evil spirit can take over the activities of human bodies and cause them to do and say and think things that are not their own. Just like our brother said, a voice spoke out of him and it wasn't him. It was something else. And this spirit rose up, and there wasn't anybody in the room that knew about deliverance but me. I was trying to convict them of the reality of it, and I've done a better job than I aim to. And there I stood in my height, toe-to-toe with this six-foot-plus young man. And it didn't budge. I mean, I just wanted to come right out. It didn't come right out. It just sort of stood there and leered at me. And I got the Bible students, and they were frightened. They were waiting to see what's going to happen. They got on their feet and came, and there was one song we could all sing together, because Alleluia is a song that knows no language barriers. And I said, you stretch forth your hand, one hand to him, and send the love, and you stretch the other one up to God and reach a hold of God's love and sing Alleluia and fill this room with praises. And they did. And you know those eyeballs began to shift back and forth, and it looked like somebody looking for a place to hide. Hallelujah! We had that demon on the run! Glory to God! And pretty soon, he began to shrivel back down to his normal size. You know, he had raised way up there. And he began to stoop back down as we continued to press in. And then, all of it, once, he just sort of slumped, you know, to his knees. And I got down on my knees so I could watch him and see what was happening. I wanted to see what was going on. And then, in just a moment, he completely let go and reached forth and threw his arms around me. And I was a little, about that much afraid. Just that much. But I had a great faith in the Lord. And he was delivered. He was weeping at that point and hanging on to me in love. And it was the boy himself that had suddenly, the transformation had happened. The shift of the power. That thing was gone. And that boy was back in charge. And he loved my neck. I thought he'd break every bone in my body. He said, thank you, thank you, thank you. And I tell you, there was a great shout went up. And how did it affect him in days to come? He no longer walked like this. You ever watch a schizophrenic walk? That's just how they walk. It's like that. They're in prison chains. His arms began to swing when he walked, you know. He began to be looser in his walk. And he didn't sit by himself in the dining room anymore. He always got a corner table over off by himself. He wouldn't talk to anybody. Rejecting spirits will not only make you feel rejected, they will make you reject others. And then you wonder why you're so lonely, why nobody likes you, and why people don't come to you. And he began to smile. He began to talk and chit-chat with the students. And the director of the school, I went back a couple of years later. He was still different. I saw him. He came to meet me and smiled. And I thank God. Now, the boy probably needs some more deliverance. We delivered him a little bit more when I went back the second time. But I'm telling you, these things are real. So rejection is one of the first spirits that comes along. And then when that spirit of rejection hurts so bad, it makes the emotional life, the psychological life of that person so miserable. They begin to look, and they see other people smiling and laughing and talking and having a good time in life. And they feel angry about this. It ain't fair. What's wrong here? And they begin to harden and stiffen. They begin to get angry. They begin to get full of hatred. They begin to rebel. They begin to be double-minded because they'll act nice on the outside, but inside they hate everybody and everything, including themselves. Including, I once hated myself. That's a miserable thing to hate yourself and try to act like you're normal. So then rebellion comes, and all kinds of things begin to move in the operation of the psychological life of an individual. And these can only be removed by spiritual power, by the name of Jesus, and by deliverance. I don't care how many sessions you have with a psychiatrist can never, ever, ever get that out of you. It must be removed by the command that goes forth in the name of Jesus, come out in Jesus' name. Now, I've no doubt that in a room this size, there are many of you who have been rejected in life. I felt rejected. I've had it cast out of me, but I felt rejected. I could say, my daddy never loved me. There were six girls, and I was the ugliest one, and he never loved me. I never remember sitting on his lap. So what? I sit on my daddy God's lap. My father in heaven is made up for every bit of that. My natural father's going on to glory now. I didn't have folks that loved me and coddled me and petted me. So what? God is able to make up for all. I'll give you this. Nobody has parents to their suiting. Nobody's satisfied with the parents they had. I thought I was going to be a perfect parent to my son. And lo and behold, I didn't make it. One day when he was a senior in high school, I found out he had a chip on his shoulder at me because I took out time to go to medical school. I found out he was feeling rejected because of that. The devil will see to it that you feel rejected whether you are or not in many cases. And I thought I was such a perfect mother. This was before I was a Christian at that time. I remember taking him to see some friends or something. He says, Mom, just drop me off and go on. He said, I don't want my friends to see you. I just wasn't anything. I thought I was beautiful at that point. But he was just, that's just the way he was, you know. He's not that way now, praise the Lord. But, you know, we cannot be as we would like to be. There's something in us that knows how to be, that knows what's the best, but we can't do it without Jesus to help us. We may read the Word and we may understand it, but without Jesus to help us and the riddance and the removal of the things that hinder us, we're unable. So I think that I will go ahead and I'm going to ask you to stand and sing with me. Dennis, come to the keyboard and sing just a song or two. And then I'm going to lead you in a prayer. I'll tell you a little song I like. Yeah, stand and stretch yourselves. Just go ahead. Don't hear it sung much, but it has a real relevancy. It's Onward Christian Soldiers. The reason they don't sing it is there ain't no soldiers. They don't know what it means. All they're hooked up on is prosperity and divine healing and name and claiming and, you know, waiting for the horn to blow so they get raptured out, don't realize they're not clean enough, they're not prepared, they're not without spot and wrinkle, and there's something else to do while we're waiting. And that's to get purified and cleansed and full of the power of God. You see? Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe, forward into battle, see his banner go. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as you are, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as you are, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe, forward into battle, see his banner go. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on. I want to sing a song. You might know it if you do sing it with me, but remember when I sing this, I'm singing about us as well as the nation of Israel. I want to see Israel marching. I want to hear the kingdom call. I want to see Zion's mountain. I want to see great Babylon fall. I want to see Jesus reigning upon King David's royal throne. Oh, won't that be a glorious sight to see when Israel comes marching home? I want to see Israel marching. I want to hear the kingdom call. I want to see Zion's mountain. I want to see great Babylon fall. I want to see Jesus reigning upon King David's royal throne. Oh, won't that be a glorious sight to see when Israel comes marching home? Praise the Lord! Hallelujah! Praise the Lord! Awake, O Israel, put off thy slumber, for the truth shall set you free. For out of Zion comes thy Redeemer in the year of Jubilee. In the furnace of affliction I have chosen thee, behold. And for iron I'll give thee silver, and for brass I'll
be a glorious sight to see. When he was welcome to the home, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I want you to take hands with one another. We're going to pray. Now, we're in the family of God and we're in the army of God. Just join hands all across this room. Stephen, I want you to join hearts, and I want you to join your hands, and I want you to join your minds. We're going to set ourselves in agreement, are we not? For there is a deliverer in each born-again person in this room. His name is Jesus. Hallelujah. And we're going to loose him to set the captives free right this moment. So let's just come before the Father. Dear Lord, we stand before your mighty presence. We thank you, Lord, that the idols of Egypt are moved at the presence of God. Hallelujah. I thank you, Lord, that you have been inhabiting the praises of your children. I thank you that you are in this place. I thank you, Jesus, that you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I thank you, Lord. We honor you. We bless you. And Father, we just thank you for delivering power by the blood and by the name and by your word. Lord, I pray for every person in this place. We plead the power of the blood of Jesus over every person here. We bind everything not like God. I bind every wicked, unclean spirit in the mighty, matchless name of Jesus. By the authority that he has given us. Hallelujah. We bind you, Satan. I bind you in Jesus' name. I command that you and your evil spirits begin to loose God's property. That you loose yourself and you go out that back door. And don't you come back to this people. For we shall have victory in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Give him a clap offering. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, I'm going to lead you in a prayer, and then I'll have you sit down. You say this prayer after me. Dear Lord God, I come to you. Confessing the name of Jesus. That he is my Savior. And my Deliverer. And I know he rose from the dead. And is interceding for me now. Seated at your right hand. I know that he came to set the captives free. And they that call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. Lord, I repent of all of my sins, both known and unknown. I repent of the sins of my ancestors. I ask your forgiveness for myself and my ancestors. And Lord, as an act of my will, I forgive all who have offended me. My parents, my siblings, neighbors, friends, teachers, all, Lord, who have offended me. And I pray for them now that you would forgive them and forget as I shall forget. I loose them in Jesus' name. Woo, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, Lord, if I've ever been hard at you, I forgive you. Lord, I choose to forgive myself. For I am not my own judge. You are my judge. And if you have forgiven me, who am I not to? I cast down my pride. I humble myself in your presence. I yield myself in your hand. And I thank you for receiving me and helping me. I break all curses over myself. Back through my bloodline for 50 generations. I break all curses, spells, and hexes, and vexes and jinxes,
and any voodoo power. I repel it in Jesus' name. I break all word curses spoken over me. I make them null and void as the Holy Spirit is loosed over me. I break all soul ties, tying me with any other person, living or dead. I surrender my soul to Jesus Christ and Him only, for I love Him. For He first loved me, and I give myself to Him without reservation. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now just lift your hands and worship Him in spirit and in truth. Let the love of God begin to bathe and wash. Let the blood of Jesus begin to move in your midst. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now you may be seated. You may be seated. Now then, I'm going to ask Brother Sister Moody and Brother Miller and any of the others of you who are experienced in deliverance ministry. Some of you here are. Okay, those that are normally here. Yeah, those that have been here before. And some people think they're deliverance ministers, and they're really not. They, you know, not always. Those that are normally here. You look around you. You be in the spirit. You be prayerful. There will be those near you, perhaps, in front or behind you, who will need a little help to come, for you to come and lay your hands upon them and help them to be delivered. But Jesus came to set the captives free. And we know that He's going to do that in this place. I've seen it happen many a time here. I've seen it happen many a time in my office. I have seen the birth of that kingdom right out of all that misery of the devil. I begin to call out these things. And as I do, if you have and you set your mind on Jesus, not on me, you look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher. You look unto Him. Set your heart's love upon Him. And as I call out these names, these spirits do the things in keeping with their names. And as I call them out, if you feel sick, if you feel coughing, whatever you feel, keep your throat open and breathe. Keep your throat open and just keep breathing. And if you need help, raise your hand.
We're just cleaning up the road.
Yes, so don't be alarmed and don't be frightened, those of you who have never seen anything like that. When evil spirits come out, sometimes there is a physical loosening of the body. There may be yawning. There may be coughing. There may be sneezing. There may be retching. There may be nothing. There may be just profuse sweating. I've seen people just break out and get wet from head to toe with perspiration as these spirits leave. Sometimes there's burping. Don't be alarmed. Sometimes they do, in fact, come out screaming. But you just pray for those near you and ask God, Lord, do I need deliverance? Deliver me. Set me free. All right. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Do you think of anything I've left out, Brother Moody? All right. On the authority of God's word, in the might and the power by the Holy Spirit who empowered the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I take authority over any and all spirits of rejection. Spirits of rejection, I bind you in the name of Jesus. I bind you in God's people. I bind you in Jesus' name. Loose God's people, come up and come out of them right this moment. Spirits of rejection. Spirits of rejection, I drive you out of God's people. Loose them and let them go. Spirits of rejection, come out. Come out now in the name of Jesus. Loose them and come out in Jesus' holy name. Spirits of rejection. Spirits of rejection from the womb. Rejection from the womb. You were not wanted even since birth. Spirits of rejection from the womb, come out in Jesus' name. Spirits of self-rejection, come out. You've rejected yourself. Come out. Loose God's people in Jesus' name. Come out this very moment by the power of the blood. Spirits of hurt. Spirits of hurt, I bind you. Spirits of hurt, come out. Wounded spirits. Spirits that are wounded. Wounded spirits, come out of these people in the name of Jesus. Broken spirits, come out. Broken spirits, come out in Jesus' holy name. By the power of the blood, I command it in Jesus' name. Spirits of hatred. Spirits of hatred. Self-hatred, come out in Jesus' name. God-hating spirits, come out in Jesus' name. God-hating spirits come out of these people in the name of Jesus. Root of bitterness. Root of bitterness, come out. If you have a yawn, just yawn it right out. Root of bitterness, come out in the name of Jesus. Unforgiveness, spirits of unforgiveness, come out in Jesus' holy name. All spirits of unforgiveness, come out in Jesus' holy name. By the power of the blood. Spirits of rebellion. Spirits of rebellion, come out in Jesus' name. These people are not rebellious. They want to serve Christ. They want to obey Him. Spirits of rebellion, we bind you in Jesus' name. Spirits of rebellion, come out in Jesus' name. Spirits of stubbornness. Spirits of stubbornness, come out in Jesus' name. Spirits of spite. Spite. Spirits of spite, come out of God's people in the name of the Lord. You will obey. You have no alternative. You must come out and leave in Jesus' holy name. Spirits of vengeance. Vengeance, come out in Jesus' holy name. Spirits of envy, come out in the name of Jesus. Jealousy. Jealousy and strife, come out in Jesus' holy name. Strife and jealousy, come out in Jesus' name. Spirits of confusion. Confusion, come out in Jesus' name. Spirits of torment, come out in the name of the Lord. Spirits of delusions. Spirits of delusions, come out in the name of Jesus. Come out now in the name of Jesus. Spirits of fantasy and imaginations, come out in the name of the Lord. Spirits of oppression and heaviness. Oppression and heaviness, loose God's people. Take that band off of that head in the name of Jesus. Get that pressure off of that chest in the name of Jesus. Be thou loosed right this moment in Jesus' name. Spirits of heaviness, lethargy, sleepiness, come out in the name of Jesus. Come out. Stuporousness in Jesus' name, come out. Spirits of trance, spirits of somnolence, all spirits having to do with meditation, come out. False meditation, come out in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Spirits of resentment, come out in the name of Jesus. Spirits of resentment toward friends and parents, resentment, come out in the name of Jesus. Loose these people right now by the power of the blood. By the power of the blood. Driving spirits, come out. Driving spirits, controlling spirits. Controlling spirits in the name of Jesus, come out. Spirits of witchcraft, come out. Spirits of charismatic witchcraft, come out in Jesus' name. All spirits of witchcraft, we bind you and command these spirits to loose and leave in the name of Jesus. Witchcraft, come out. Sorcery. Spirits of sorcery, we bind you in the name of Jesus. Loose these people and come out. Spirits of insanity. Spirits of insanity. The devil has been trying to drive somebody crazy. Spirits of insanity, we bind you in Jesus' name. Spirits of torment, mental torment, be bound and cast out in Jesus' holy name. Spirits of insanity. Spirits of craziness and lunacy in Jesus' name. Spirits of idiocy, come out in Jesus' holy name. By the power of the blood. Spirits of depression. Depression. Spirits of depression in Jesus' holy name. By the power of the blood, you must go in Jesus' name. Anybody having depression, raise your hand right now. Someone will come to you. Spirits of depression, you have to go in Jesus' name. Spirits of depression. Spirits of depression, go in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All spirits of play acting, we bind you in the name of Jesus. All self-deception, we bind you in Jesus' name and cast you out. Spirits of self-deception in Jesus' name. Deceiving spirits, go. Lying devils. People have been lied to by evil spirits and they have believed them. Demons have lied about that person to that person. In Jesus' holy name, go right this moment. In Jesus' name, lying devils, flee from God's people. We resist you in the name of the Lord. The Bible says resist the devil and he will flee from you. Lying devils, we rebuke you. Lying spirits, you have to go. Unclean spirits, all unclean spirits, go in the name of Jesus. All party spirits, go in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Thank you, Lord. Party spirits, go in Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord Jesus. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. Strongholds of the mind be torn down. Strongholds of the mind be torn down in the name of Jesus. Let those false doctrines flee in the name of Jesus. False doctrine, I bind you. All spirits of false doctrine, spirits of idolatry, we bind you. Spirits of idolatry, go in the name of Jesus. Loose God's people in Jesus' holy name, all spirits of idolatry. Go. Man-pleasing spirits, go in Jesus' name. Man-pleasing spirits, go in Jesus' name. Man-fearing spirits, go. Spirits of fear. Spirits of bondage, be broken. Spirits of bondage, be broken. Spirits of bondage, be broken in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Spirits of infirmity making your body sick and weak. People who have had repeated illness, one illness after the other. We bind you in Jesus' name. Spirits of infirmity, depart and go in Jesus' holy name. That spirit making that hemorrhage, you are bound. That spirit causing that blood to flow, I bind you in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. I bind that spirit causing hemorrhage and that blood to be wrong. Spirit making that blood be sick, I bind you and rebuke you and call that blood to be healed in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Spirits of loneliness, spirits of alienation, I bind you. Spirits of alienation, go. Spirits of loneliness, spirits of sorrow, spirits of grief, go in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, but I am with you till the end of the age. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, Jesus. Hallelujah. Spirits of anger. Spirits of anger, I bind you in Jesus' name and I command you to depart. Spirits of temper, I bind you in Jesus' name. Spirits of rage, I bind you in Jesus' name. Out, loose her in Jesus' name. Loose her. Out in Jesus' name. Spirits of rage, violence, and anger, come out in Jesus' holy name. Spirits of suicide, I bind all spirits of suicide in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Spirits of suicide, come out of her in Jesus' holy name. Loose her and let her go. Spirits of suicide. Suicide, depart from her in Jesus' holy name. Spirits of schizophrenia. Schizophrenia, I bind you. Spirits of schizophrenia, I bind you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Spirits of schizophrenia. Psychotic spirits, come out. Psychotic spirits, come out. Spirits of insanity and psychosis. All spirits of schizophrenia are bound. Your root is cut off from the bloodline in Jesus' holy name. Spirits of satanic worship. Spirits of Satan worship, I bind you in Jesus' holy name. Spirits of Satan worship, we bind you in Jesus' holy name. By the power of the blood. Spirits of guilt, false guilt and false burdens, we bind you in Jesus' name. Loose these people and come out in Jesus' name. Witchcraft and sorcery be loosed in Jesus' name. Take your power off of these people. Loose God's people. Let's sing that song. Oh, the start of the first. Let's sing it the first. The lower key. Oh, the blood of Jesus. It washes white as snow. Someone wants to be able to forget. There are things that keep haunting your mind. I bind that thing that causes you to remember those things that you would like to forget. I bind that thing that reminds you repeatedly in the night hours. I bind that thing and command it to loose you now. In Jesus' holy name, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The gift of the peace of God that passes all understanding to fall upon that sister. Hallelujah. The peace of God. He said, my peace I leave with you. Not as the world gives, but a peace that passes all understanding. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise your Lord Jesus. We bind spirits of alcoholism in the name of Jesus. I bind all spirits of alcoholism. I bind all spirits of addiction in the name of Jesus and command you to loose God's people. Spirits of alcoholism, come out. Spirits of alcoholism. Spirits of addiction to drugs. Spirits of addiction to drugs. Dependency. All drug dependency, loose God's people in the name of Jesus. You don't need tranquilizers. You need Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Again, grief and loneliness and mourning and sadness. Worship of the dead. Spirits of the worshiping of the dead. I bind you and command you to go in Jesus' name. I bind all religious spirits in the name of Jesus. We bind all religious spirits in the name of Jesus. Go in Jesus' holy name by the power of the blood. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. I take authority over a spirit that gives life to tumors. I bind and curse that spirit that gives life to tumors in your body. In the name of Jesus, we curse that thing and command it to depart from your body right now in Jesus' holy name. And that thing is to shrivel, wither, and shrink and die in Jesus' holy name. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I curse that spirit that gives life to that chronic infection. That chronic infection in the lungs, you are loosed in Jesus' name. Be thou healed. Hallelujah. That infection in the intestinal tract, ulcerative colitis, irritation, critical spirits come out in Jesus' name. Critical spirits come out in Jesus' name. Judgmental spirits come out. Spirits of self-righteousness come out in Jesus' name. I bind and cast out spirits of pride. All spirits of pride, spirits of haughtiness come out in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Praise you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Dear Jesus, we love you and thank you. Hallelujah. There's a weakness in somebody's legs. Weakness of the legs. We bind that thing in Jesus' name. Those legs are being strengthened and healed right now by Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Those veins and those arteries are being healed in Jesus' name right this moment. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Broken hearts. Broken hearts are being healed right now. For he bindeth up the broken in heart. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for laying your hand personally on those with broken hearts in this place. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord Jesus. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood. Power of the Lamb. There is power. scripture to you. Say it right out loud. A scripture. That is the sword of the Spirit. Did you know that? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Somebody with a scripture. Praise the Lord. Another one. Amen. Another one. Hallelujah. Believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Hallelujah. Praise Him. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. Another one? Yes. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Hand me that time we now got to sing, God's Not Dead. You see, God's not dead. He is alive. God's not dead. Somebody lie. God's not dead. He is alive and I feel him all over me. God's not dead. He is alive. God's not dead. Somebody lie. I feel him in the air. I feel him on the street. I feel him in the church. I feel him everywhere. And I feel him all over me. Oh, no, 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 no. God's not dead. He is alive. God's not dead. Somebody lie. God's not dead. He is alive. And I feel him. Those that are nearby, go touch him. Those that are from Lake Hamilton here, those that are, all right, those of you touch him. All right, the rest of you touch them that are touching them. Hallelujah. We're going to sing hallelujah, key of F. We're just going to project the love of God to that boy. I believe there's enough power in this room. Hallelujah. Look at me. Stop that. You are not bringing glory to the kingdom of God, and that is not demons, that's you. Stop it.
Amen.
Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. Our God is not mocked. Our God is not mocked. Misguided persons would cause you to believe that the power of Jesus is not sufficient. Sometimes people, through ignorance, are thinking that's what they're supposed to do things in the flesh. This is not demons. I felt so, and I checked it out with some others, and it's not. Praise the Lord. All hail the power of the key of F. All hail the power of Jesus, name that angel, prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown. Supper's not quite ready yet, but it occurred to me that some of you may have questions. And I believe we'll just throw this open, have a little teaching session here. I'm liable to do anything, Brother Miller. You just must get used to me. And if I can't answer it, I believe that Brother Gene Moody might, or Brother Miller, some of us here will answer your question. Do you have a question that we could help you with? Oh, yes, sir, in the back. Well, I'll tell you what I know. Soul ties are formed when people knit their hearts together and sometimes their bodies together. My experience with it is that I have had many persons in my office married and now living another life who are haunted by an old love affair, by an old boyfriend or an old girlfriend. And they keep having a pull and a tug that, and when times get rough and the kids get on their nerves, I just like to run away and marry that individual back there. And I find that sometimes people are tormented by dreams of the person in their life that has gone on by death or whatever. And when we break those things as an act of our will in the name of Jesus, something snaps, something is broken, and it doesn't happen anymore. Those things are often tied up with depression and feelings of reverie and nostalgia that are kind of a negative thing, you know. Either combination thereof. Another question. That's a very good question, sir. Objects. Uh-huh. You just made me think of one, sister. I've got one I'm going to go home and pray over. Well, could we say then that in psychiatry we have a term called cathexis. When we cathect or place our emotions, our love, and our affection on an object, we project a part of ourselves onto it. And when that is, it's almost like idolatry. It's almost inordinate love or worship. Yes, yes. I know many people who have worshipped animals, and this is not of God. Yes, sir. Yes, it would be very much along that line. Probably a sentimental spirit would help that out. In the very back, sir. No feeling in us or in you? Okay. You might not have had those demons in you.
That's,
yeah. I'll give it a few days. The other thing, sometimes I've had deliverance prayed in my office, and people will go home, and I had one girl, she drove quite a few miles, and her mother said she yawned 50 times on the way home. So if you had any of these kinds of things, they could yet come out. Sometimes people get diarrhea. Sometimes they get vomiting in a few days. I got it in 3 days. But I got some deliverance at the time. I knew I was delivered. Yes, sir? Right. Right. But generally, if you have something and you're delivered of it, you will have feelings. There is a feeling of joy and a release. Mm-hmm. Yes, but we don't always have the feelings. But as a general rule, we will.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.